morning. It's lovely to be here again. So I'd like you to get up and shake someone's hand and welcome them to church this morning. That'd be wonderful. I'd certainly like to welcome those that are visiting this morning. It's lovely that you're here, and I trust that you will enjoy our service. I've called our sermon this morning, Facing the Waves in Life. My question is, I wonder what you are afraid of. Interesting. I wonder what you're afraid of. Perhaps you're afraid of redback spiders, or snakes, or cockroaches, or bears, or other hairy creatures. Don't know. Are you scared of those? Or perhaps you may be scared of rock climbing, or scared of heights, or scared of bungee jumpings. I certainly am. Or big swings, or flying foxes. Or perhaps you're scared of those that are forecasting that the world is going to boil up with climate change and all those renewables that we need. Or perhaps you're concerned about what the future may hold and where we're heading in the world. Or practically, you may be just scared or afraid or concerned about assignments that are due, or testing that's coming. Some time ago, I spoke to you about the need for Christians to get out of the boat. What do I mean by that? Well, I talked about the story of Peter getting out of the boat and walking towards Jesus. I talked about the fact that we need to be resilient. We need to be persistent in our Christian life. And as Peter walked across the water, and as he looked to Jesus, he was able to walk on the water himself. Tried that at Lake Macquarie quite often, and I go straight to the bottom. But the story goes on that when Peter turned to look at the waves around him, he started to sink. I'm reminded of that verse that's in Hebrews that talks about this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by a great crowd of witnesses, let us throw off that which hinders and the sin which so easily entangles us. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. I'd like to focus on that little bit that talks about let us throw off everything that hinders us. Perhaps it may be our jobs. Maybe it may be our hobbies. Maybe it may be our sports or our studies. Or maybe a little deeper, it may be talking about some of the fears that we may have or the anxieties that we may have. Problems. Perhaps the lack of forgiveness. You know, some of these are quite gigantic as we face the Christian life. So this morning I'd like to talk very briefly about the facing the fear of failure. You know, facing the fear of failure means sometimes we don't do what we should do, or we don't do what we need to do, and certainly we don't do what God wants us to do. I hear so often young people saying to me, "I can't do that." There are many characters in the Bible that exemplify this particular problem. On your right, there's a picture of, On your right is a picture of Moses. He had tried to deliver the people in his own way and ended up spending many years in the desert. The picture here is where he was at the burning bush. God spoke to him and wanted him to go back to Egypt to deliver his people. Moses made all sorts of excuses because he was afraid that he may not be able to do what God wanted him to do. And so he said these things: "Who am I? What are the elders going to do? I'm not able to speak." The other picture on the board talks about Gideon. An angel came to speak to Gideon while he was thrashing wheat in a cave. The Midianites had been taking all of their crops, causing lots of havoc in the nation. And God had chosen him to deliver the people of Israel from the Midianites. When asked by the angel, Gideon made these comments: "How can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am least in my family." Picture on your right talks about Jeremiah. God had chosen Jeremiah to be a prophet to the nation of Israel. When God called him, Jeremiah said this: "I don't know how to speak, and I am very, very young." The other picture there talks about Jonah. When Jonah was asked to go to Nineveh to preach the gospel in Nineveh, Jonah didn't want to do that. He actually hated the people, and so he decided to run away and do his own thing. You know, we all face failure, but not all failure is sin. You know, I can look back over my years. I remember I did my first university subject when I was teaching, and I failed quite miserably. When I recently tried to get a boat license, I failed my test. I tried to cook some biscuits just recently and I made a mess of it. I tried to go fishing. And you know, I'm sure the fish look at me and look at my bait and think, "This guy's mad, stupid," and just leave my bait where it is. You know, I try and plant plants. My local nursery loves me. I come and buy lots of plants. I go home and I kill them quite quickly. I failed in all sorts of things. But you know, failure doesn't necessarily mean I've sinned. When I don't do what God wants me to do, I need to admit it quickly. Seek God's forgiveness. Use the failure that I've done to achieve success in the future. You know, I love the saying, failure is a fact of life, but it isn't a way of life. This morning I want to look at the book of Joshua, the things that we've read, and have a look at some of the principles that are given to Joshua as he faces the proposition of taking his people into the promised land that God has given to him. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Well, where does Joshua fit into all of this? Well, Joshua was Moses' right-hand man. And what qualified Moses to take the people into the promised land? Well, first of all, God had appointed him to do that. Secondly, he was one of the only two witnesses to the plagues and the exodus of the people of Israel from Egypt. He was Moses' second hand for a period of 40 years. And he was one of the two spies that had actually gone into the land prior to their wandering in the wilderness and came back believing that they could possess the land itself. Joshua faced some challenges, and I guess he was wondering how possibly he could make it. First of all, he was the leader of a group of people who were the children of slaves, and I believe ill prepared to go into battle and to fight their way through the land that God had given to them. Secondly, up to this particular stage, they had been fed day by day by day, except on the Sabbath, by manna that God had given to them. The instructions that God gave to them was that when you went into the land, you had to acquire your own food. So, a challenge was there for them. Thirdly, the land possessed great giants in large numbers. And the Bible refers to some of those people who had chariots of iron. Fourthly, their cities in the land were fortified and large. And these people, the Israelites, probably looked at this particular situation and thought it's impossible for us to do it. To overcome the fear of failure, as I said, Joshua was given these particular principles. They're in your bulletin, if you have your bulletin, and I'll try and explain them as we go through. First of all, there was the principle of divine perfection. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. The Bible says in Romans that if God is for us, then who can stand against us? You know, because of what Jesus has done, we are the children of God. We have the gift of eternal life, and our sins are forgiven. God is on our side. God wants the very best for us. God loves us and wants the very best for us. Secondly, principle of divine purpose. What was the job that Joshua was given to do? Well, we read it this morning. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the deserts of Lebanon and from the great river Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. Joshua was told where he was to go and what land he was to possess. What task have we been given? What's the divine purpose for the Christian? What's our job that God has called us to do? God has called us to love him wholeheartedly. God has called us to serve him fully and obediently. God has called us to fulfill the great commission that God has given to us. I believe that when God gives us a task to do, he will give us all the resources that we need to fully do that task and accomplish it completely. Principle 3 is the divine persuasion. Joshua, I'm sure, needed to be encouraged. And so God gave him these encouraging words. Be strong and be courageous. Then he goes on and says, be strong and courageous. Just to make sure Joshua got the message, he says again, be strong and courageous. If you didn't get the message, he said, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. I think Joshua got the message, didn't he? What was he to be? Strong and courageous. Paul wrote this in the book of Corinthians for us. Be on your guard. Stand firm as a Christian in the faith. Be people of courage and be strong. We're encouraged when we read the book of Romans. It says that all things work for good for those that are called according to his purpose. And for those that love him. God encourages us to know that we are given a task and he will accomplish it through us as we obey him. So the principle of encouragement for us. Fourthly, the principle of divine priority. Scriptures teach us this. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. What's the priority for us? The task has been given to us. What's our priority? To read, to know, and to obey the word of God. You know, every area of our life and the answers to the problems that we have and the tasks that we have in our Christian experience can be found in the word of God. We need to know the word of God. We need to read the word of God. We need to meditate upon the word of God. And we need to obey the word of God. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, he answered Satan on those three occasions by quoting the word of God. And I was interested during the week to realise those quotations came from the book of Deuteronomy. Interesting. When's the last time you read the book of Deuteronomy and were encouraged by reading the book of Deuteronomy? You know, it's important for us to know the Bible and to use it. Jesus said, if we love him, we should obey his word. Our priority is to know and obey God's word. Fifthly, the principle of divine presence. Scriptures this morning read this: no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Again in verse 9, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Joshua was promised that God was going to be with him wherever he went. I'd like to read just something that encourages me from the book of Romans. It says this: who is he that condemns? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced, says Paul, that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, or anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from love of Christ, that is, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Doesn't that excite you? Excites me. Wherever I go, Jesus is with me. Whether I go to the deepest depths of the ocean, not that I'm going to do that, or climb to the highest mountain, not that I'm going to do that, but wherever I go, God is with me. Isn't that wonderful to know? And he will strengthen us. He will encourage us. He will protect us. And he will guide us. And finally, the principle of divine prosperity. It says this: keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate it on day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. You know, there are some that would say that being a Christian, we can ask anything of God and we'll get it. But I believe prosperity comes in the task that God has given to us. He will enable us to achieve it for his glory, so that his power may be known to others. Picture here is, of course, of Joshua as he attacked various places. God gave him success. And as we trust in God, and as we do what God asks us to do, he will enable us to achieve those things. So, as I said, God's name would be glorified. Young people, don't put off what God wants you to do. Don't put it off. Maybe it's to witness to someone at school. Maybe it's just to do something in your home. Don't put it off. But be people of faith. A memory verse this morning is this. I think it's a great encouragement to me, and I trust it is to you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Maybe the distraction in your life is to concern with the fear of failure. I want to encourage you this morning. Trust God. Obey God. Do what God says. And certainly, you'll bring glory to Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the scriptures that teach us that you are with us, that you will strengthen us, that you will guide us, that you will empower us. And again this morning, I pray for these people that are in this building this morning, that you may just pour out your Holy Spirit anew upon them, so that as they leave this place, they will be changed people, because indeed we've all met with you this morning. For this I would ask and believe it will be so, because we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.